Jesus went up to the mountain and he sat down with his disciples. When Jesus wants to speak for his disciples or the people or the crowd, and he wants them to tell them something really important, he sat down with them. So I want to talk about something that the readings are just burning to talk about, but it's controversial. So I am going to sit down as I talk to you for a couple of reasons. One is, if I just stand up and talk around it, it's going to seem like I carry an authority that I don't have. And as I sit down with you, I feel like I just want to talk to you. Now, one of the controversies I could talk about, I don't know if you caught this line, Jesus said, have the people recline. So the men reclined, about 5,000 of them. That's very controversial. I'm not going to touch that one. But I do want to talk about something that is kind of controversial, and I want you to be kind of listening because it's very important. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say to you. What's controversial I want to talk about is the Eucharist. Would you believe that the Eucharist is controversial? Now, the first thing you would think about is that poll that they done 2 years ago or so where they talked about, where they came out with, two-thirds of Catholics do not believe that Jesus is really present in the Eucharist. Two-thirds. And then the church went crazy about that. We're not teaching people about the Eucharist. We're not telling them. I'm going to tell you that's not what I want to talk about because I don't believe that at all. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But I think it's not that two-thirds of people don't believe that Jesus is present. I think two-thirds of people don't want to believe that Jesus is present. But I'll get back to that later. The latest controversy in the church is who should come up for communion and who should not. Or actually, the controversy is who should priests deny communion to and who should they not? But it really comes down to who should come up for communion and who should not. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I am not going to tell you what's right or wrong here. I am going to challenge you to go home and think about it and think about how you work, because I'm going to put it in kind of context for you and you can go home and talk about it and see. The dilemma is that the church very strongly says that people that are in serious mortal sin should not come up to communion until they have reconciled through confession. They've made a big emphasis, especially on people that have been divorced and remarried without an annulment. They've talked about that. Even a year ago, the bishops all got together and the church said, yeah, those people should not be coming up for communion. Yet they don't put the same emphasis on couples that are just living together and not married at all. The other thing is that Pope Francis has said the following. Eucharist is the bread of sinners and not a reward of saints. Eucharist is the bread of sinners and not the reward of saints. So we have two sides of the coin here. The argument on the second side about sinners is that there's only two people that know what's in your heart, Jesus and you. And so the argument is, let those two people that really know what's in their heart decide if they should come up for communion or not. To me, the argument falls on the framework of how you came to your faith and how you live your faith in our church. The first framework that I see is belief, belong, become. Think about our mission statement, to seek Christ, know Christ, become Christ. It's been a mission statement here forever. The first framework that people came is believe, become, I'm sorry, belief, belong, become. Both frameworks want to become Christ. The first one says, you know what? You got to believe all this stuff in the Catholic Church. After you believe all that stuff, then you can come and belong. Don't come in to a membership until you know the rules, are going to obey the rules, and come in. That's kind of evangelical Christian belief, that they believe the Bible, and it's all in the Bible, and it's all in there, and all you have to do is read it. Don't you get it? It's all in there. I have a brother like that. It tends to be, in my mind, kind of very black and white, and my brother is very black and white. Everything's this or that. And he lives quite well, and he goes to an evangelical Christian church, and he is a good Christian. So that's the first framework. First you believe everything, then you belong, then you become. That framework occupies the most important virtue is obedience. The second framework that you can come to faith, carry your faith with, is to belong, to believe, to become. To belong, to believe, to become. That framework has the most important virtue be mercy. That framework tends to look at relationships and says, you know what? If your heart's with Jesus, you know what the Catholic Church believes, even if you have trouble with it, wrestle with it, but come on in. Come on. We'll take you. It looks at imperfect relationships and says, okay, I know you're wrestling with this. That's good, but come on in. And it tends to go along with what St. Francis was saying about what he thinks the Eucharist is for. That tends to be more gray thinking. Now, people that have kind of black and white thinking do not like gray thinking. My brother hates it when I present gray to him. And in fact, people that think black and white in their first sort of thing, believe, belong, and become, they have a name for the second group of gray people. They call them cafeteria Catholics. Pick what you want. They say these people just pick. If they don't like something, they just don't believe it and they go on. People that are gray thinking, those ones that belong, then believe, then become, they have a name for the first group too. They call them fundamentalists. They're traditionalists. Here's the dilemma. Catholic Church supports both of those. It doesn't say either one is wrong. It supports both of those. So that's what I want you to just kind of think about in your mind. How have you come to the faith? What framework do you work in? And is it working for you? How's it doing for you? Now, me being the pastor, I'm not going to leave you with that, because I don't think that's fair. I'm going to tell you what I think, but I'm sitting. This is my opinion. This isn't the law of the church. First, my background, as you know, I first want to say I really envy black and white thinkers. I envy my brother. He's got everything. He doesn't worry about it. It's this or it's that. It's this or it's that. I love that thinking. I wish I could be like that. But I, unfortunately, through my life experience, have ended up in a gray world. I have two daughters that are Muslim. I have a third daughter that got married in Frame Park in Waukesha by some guy she got on the internet, that she got the minister on the internet. I have a sister that claims she's an atheist, and she is the most nicest, kindest person in the world. And my daughters are wonderful mothers. I live in gray. I don't live in black and white. Is gray okay? Here's my evidence that it might be. The first is our readings. In our readings, this is John's gospel of feeding the 5,000, which is sort of in every gospel. But this is, in John's gospel, the closest thing we have to the institution of the Eucharist. He does not have the Last Supper the same way that the other three do. This is Jesus instituting the Eucharist, feeding the people. One thing we know for sure is that when Jesus fed the people, he didn't separate them. He didn't say, okay, all you people that like what I say over here and the rest of you, we're not giving you anything. He fed them all. And the other thing that we know is when we get fed by Jesus, we are fed to abundance. We are fed so well that there's leftovers in our lives to share with others. So when Jesus feeds us, it's really powerful. And the first thing I want to say is I think the debate around the Eucharist misses a couple of points. One is the power of the Eucharist, the power of being fed by Jesus that we see here. The second thing is, I think what we miss is that Jesus saw that they were hungry. The people came to him hungry, and he fed them. And he fed them to abundance. If you don't come to the Eucharist hungry, you probably shouldn't come. That's my opinion. We're supposed to come to the Eucharist hungry to become Jesus. So let's go back to the very beginning where I talked about two-thirds of the people not believing it's the real presence. All you have to do is come to one Mass. We say up here, Holy Spirit, come down and make this the body and blood of Jesus. We say, behold, the Lamb of God. We give it to you. We say, this is the body of Christ. When we're done, we reverence it by putting it back in the tabernacle. You can't come to one Mass and not believe that we believe this is the body of Christ. I don't believe that. Here's my second piece of evidence. Nora, hi. You're going to be receiving your first communion, right? Stand up for a minute. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. There she is. Let's give her a little applause there. Nora, what grade are you going into? You were going into third grade. Nora, this is a book on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I'm sure they gave this to you and you read the whole thing. Did you read the whole thing? No. All right, you can sit down, Nora. Maybe they just forgot with you. How many kids here have gotten their first communion already? Raise your hand. Can you guys come out into the aisle for a minute just so I can see you? Thank you all. All right, so how many of you believe that you're receiving Jesus when you receive communion? How many of you think you're... All right, it's better than two-thirds, okay? Did you guys get this book, the Catechism? How many of you people read the Catechism of the Catholic Church before you got communion? Did you read this? Okay. You guys can sit down. Thank you. That's my second evidence. We don't offer communion to adults that are well educated. We offer them to second graders. We tell them you can belong first. Then you can come to believe as time goes on. I think, and my opinion is, that the only requirement Jesus had for communion is that you are hungry. So if you're sitting in the pews and you are totally happy with some addiction you have or something you're doing and you're thinking, hey, man, I'm happy. I'm not going to give this up. I think you should stay in your pew. If you're not even willing to forgive somebody that you know that you don't like because they hurt you so bad, if you're not even willing to go there and think about forgiving them, if you're not even willing to change something in your life and say, hey, I'm not changing this, If you're living with somebody and you're not married and you're thinking, hey, we're fine. I don't care. We're fine. You're not even thinking about it. I'd probably stay in my pew because you're not hungry. You're not hungry for Jesus. This Mass is supposed to get you hungry. That's the preparation. That's what this is all about. We're supposed to make you hungry for Jesus. So when you come up, I want him. I want him to change my life. I know that I'm not doing well, but I need him. The Eucharist is the most powerful weapon for sinners, and it's the most wonderful reward for saints. So I kind of feel both. But I will say, I think from looking at Jesus and from what we do in the church, that you, if you're hungry, come up for communion. If you're not hungry for Jesus, just stay in your pew. I think that's the only thing that Jesus required. I know as an image, when I went into the seminary, this is the image that I used because I had a lot of different opinions than what the Catholic Church believed. But I was willing to say, okay, I know there's beauty in the Catholic Church. Let me try it and see if they can make me believe this. And what I did in my mind is I looked at my, sort of my mind as a closed, big giant doors that are closed. And I said, okay, every Eucharist I receive, I'm going to turn it sideways and shove it between that door. So every Eucharist I receive, my door in my mind is going to open a little bit more to God. That's what I ask of you. If you're hungry, come to communion. If you're not hungry, stay in your pew. It's okay. I think that's the only requirement that Jesus gave us. And the only prerequisite we need is, are you hungry?